Now, our text this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be safe, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Amen. Now, the ministry of Isaiah spanned the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. This was a time of great political and social turmoil in Israel as a whole. During the reign of Ahaz, the Syrians tried to conquer Jerusalem. Ahaz, in desperation, applied to Assyria for help. The king of Assyria decided to help, but Judah became beholden to Assyria. But when the godly king Hezekiah came on the throne, he decided to break off relationship with Assyria. The Assyrians reacted in anger. They began to march down south, and in 722 BC, they destroyed Samaria, the capital of the northern kingdom of Israel. Hezekiah and his ministers knew that soon the Assyrians would come upon them to destroy them. In desperation, they decided to turn to Egypt. We are not told how the decisions came about, but we can be quite sure that Hezekiah would have been extremely reluctant to do that. Nevertheless, Hezekiah, we must remember, does not rule alone. He ruled with many other officers in the court. And therefore, with or without Hezekiah's approval, apparently an attempt was made to secure Egypt's help. And we read that in the first part of chapter 30. And because of that, God was very displeased. Isaiah chapter 30 and chapter 1 contains an oracle against this foolish attempt to seek help from the Egyptians. Politically, it did not make sense to seek the Egyptians' help because Egypt was already a waning world power, whereas Assyria was already the most powerful kingdom and growing more powerful day by day. But the Lord's objection was not based on political considerations. It was based entirely upon spiritual considerations. The Lord chided Judah, Jerusalem, for failing to seek his view on the matter. See that in verse 2. He cautioned them of the shame that they would bring upon themselves as a nation by doing what they were planning to do. See that in verse 3 to verse 5. Moreover, he warned them in graphic terms that they would be severely chastised because they despise his word. See that in verses 12 to 14. They would be like a high wall that is cracking up and bulging, ready to topple suddenly. They will be like pottery, shattered mercilessly, so that amongst its pieces there is not one piece big enough to take up a burning ember to start a fire elsewhere or to use to scoop water. The words of our text for our consideration this morning is like a bright light shining in the midst of hard words of admonishment throughout this chapter. It is reputed to be one of the favorite verses of Martin Luther, a verse that encouraged him in the midst of all the strugglings that he faced in the work of the Reformation. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Here in these words, the Holy Spirit will teach us three things to apply to ourselves in our own struggles with life in this complex, sin-damaged world that we live in. First, our salvation from sin and the consequences of sin may be found in returning and rest. Secondly, we can find strength to face the trials that we experience in our Christian life in quietness and confidence. Thirdly, let us be aware of how we do unreasonably refuse the simple solution provided by our gracious God. First then, consider how there is salvation in returning and rest. The Jews were in trouble because of the impending invasion of the Assyrians. And to add to their trouble, they sought to solve their problems by seeking help from the Egyptians. But in doing so, they were not only seeking to solve the problem at their own expense, but they were provoking God to anger by despising His goodness and therefore incurring His wrath. What was the solution to their problems? How could they escape the troubles confronting them? Or in other words, how could they be saved? The Lord's answer is, in returning and rest. What does the Lord mean by returning? Well, the Hebrew word used here occurs only once in the Old Testament. It speaks of a turning around, a withdrawing from a certain planned course of action. For the Jews, it would mean ceasing to seek help from the Egyptians. It would mean ceasing to think that this is the only way of salvation for them. The Hebrew word for salvation includes deliverance from trouble. The Jews should rather turn back to the Lord. What about rest? Well, no doubt the Lord was teaching them to cease from flitting about with anxiety like as it were a headless chicken running round aimlessly. They should rather fix their eyes on the Lord and find their rest in Him and Him alone. They should cast their cares upon Him. They should put their faith on the Lord to deliver Him. Our beloved brethren, youth and children, what the Lord said to the Jews in the days of Hezekiah, He says to us too. Are we not like the Jews? Are we not daily troubled and anxious by many things? The Jews were troubled by the impending invasion of the Assyrians, and immediately they sought help from the Egyptians. Seems like a no-brainer solution. Egypt is just down there. They are coming up from the north. So let's go to Egypt, the powerful, next most powerful nation. They sought to solve their problem according to their knowledge and their reasoning. What about us? Are we not troubled by what tomorrow will bring? Do we not worry about the exam coming out? Do we not worry about the job interview, about losing our job, about our boss's displeasure, about our work? Do we not fret over our children's future? Do we not worry about our business and our investments? We even worry about the money in the bank. Are we not anxious about our health and about our old age? Are we not troubled about our young people? Are we not worried about whether we can continue to worship here? What about the economic situation? What about government policies, etc., etc., etc.? Many, many things trouble us. And are we not tempted to solve things according to our own wisdom? Are we not tempted immediately to go to Egypt for a solution? It seems the most natural thing to do, that if we are sick, we should see a doctor. Or if we don't see a Western doctor, we see an alternative doctor. It seems that that's the most natural thing. And if we need to secure a future for our children, well, then the best thing to do is to enroll them in the best school of Egypt. If we need a job, then we should find someone to pull strings for us, or at least to teach us how to perform well in the interview, etc. You see how we often run around like a mad chicken. Do you see how we desperately need to turn away from the world and to turn to the Lord? Do you see how we desperately need to come unto the Lord Jesus to find rest in Him? If you are still an unbeliever and a stranger to Christ, this is most urgent for you. Unless you turn away from your sin, from self, and from the world to the Lord Jesus, to put your faith in Him, your life will be heading towards destruction. You'll be like a tottering wall, ready to collapse any time. Your soul will be restless until it finds rest in Christ. But even as believers, we must turn away from worldly ways and turn to the Lord and find rest in Him. Bear in mind that all believers in this life have a remnant of corruption. The scripture calls this remnant of corruption the flesh, and it calls the principle of life spirit. The flesh is at war with the spirit. If we are not careful to mortify the deeds of the flesh, or if we feed the flesh by giving in to temptation and the lust of the flesh, then the flesh will grow stronger and stronger by the day. Then our life will be dictated by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We'll be no different from the rest of the world. And then we shall be miserable, backsliding Christian, living worldly lives, and at the same time grieving the spirit. When that happens, we shall be of all men most miserable until we return and find rest in the Lord. The Lord Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and not to worry about tomorrow. Matthew 6:33 and 34, they go together. Seek His kingdom, then don't worry about tomorrow. If we learn to do so, if we learn to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, we learn to return to Him, we learn to rest in Him, then we shall find rest in our soul, and we shall have true confidence in regard to tomorrow. Well, beloved brethren, youths and children, would you continue to bring misery upon yourself by aimless wandering, by wandering restlessly, flitting from one agency to another, from one attempt to another, to solve all the problems and frustrations in your life? Learn rather, return and find rest in Christ. Do not keep running away like Jonah. But now, secondly, let us consider how we may find strength in the face of trials in our Christian life, in quietness and in confidence. Now the Jews were filled with trepidation, uncertainty and worries. Their hearts were restless. Their minds were running to and fro, not knowing what to do. Soon the Assyrians would come. They would lay siege on the city. And if the experiences of other cities was anything to go by, they would fall. There would be a great slaughter. The city would be burned. The men would be killed or captured and made slaves. The women would be violated. The children would be killed or captured and sold away. The very mention of what might happen would have set men trembling and women weeping hysterically. The city was weak. The king felt weak and helpless, and the people too felt that the situation was hopeless. They went to Egypt for help, though they would have known that Egypt was too weak to help them. So now, they were not only in a dire situation, but they were in turmoil and fear. They could turn away from Egypt, They could stop fighting and rest. But their minds and hearts were still racing. It's like a mother busy all day. At the end of the day, she's tired out. She needs desperately to rest. She stops doing what she's doing. She plops on the bed. She tries to sleep, but sleep escapes her. For her mind is racing. She's worrying about this and that. She feels desperate. She feels weak. She feels that she's useless. She feels vulnerable and helpless. The feeling is not nice. What is God's solution? God says to Isaiah, "In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." The solution to the turmoil of heart and mind and a sense of weakness is very simple. We must learn first to be quiet. The Jews, in all their turmoil, must learn to calm down and to be still. The Lord says through the psalmist, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." As long as the Jews were running about trying to solve their own problems, they would remain weak. They must stop. They must be still, that they might listen to the Lord. But not only must they be still, they must put their confidence and trust in the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord will have their strength renewed, and they would have perfect peace. Isaiah says in chapter 26, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Those who trust in the Lord need not fear what tomorrow will bring. They need not feel helpless and weak. It is so for us too, beloved brethren, youths and children. God appoints trials in our lives in order that we may cease to trust in ourselves and in the devices of the world, but rather to trust in Him. Therefore, we can never become stronger by putting our confidence in our own ability or in the systems of the world. We must quieten down. We must recognize our inability and cast ourselves in the care of the Lord. The Apostle Paul learned this by experience. He had a thorn in his flesh that troubled him. We don't know what it was. We know that it troubled Paul, and Paul hated it. He felt weak. He felt that his ministry was being hindered. He felt that he must get rid of it. Perhaps he asked Dr. Luke to get rid of it for him, if it was a medical issue. But Luke was not able to do anything. So he prayed and he fasted and he beseeched the Lord to take away that thorn in the flesh. He had turned away from the worst ways, you see. But he was still unsettled, and he was full of anxiety about the thorn in the flesh. Somehow he must get rid of it. If religious exercises can get rid of it, he would do anything. He decided then to pray, or more likely to fast and pray over it. First time he did, he might have been very confident that the Lord would remove that thorn in the flesh. After all, he's praying and fasting over it, and God hears the prayers of his children. But nothing happened. Paul must have been very disappointed. But still, he wanted to get rid of the thorn badly. He decided to try prayer and fasting again. Maybe he prayed longer and he fasted longer. But again, nothing happened. What a letdown. Paul, we can imagine, was ready to give up. but after a while he decided to try again. He will pray more importunately. He'll fast longer. He'll restrict himself even more. But just when he thought that the Lord would give in to his request, the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul had learned the lesson that Isaiah was seeking to bring to the people. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. He must cease to fret and chase after solutions. He must cease to try to be strong by getting at the things that he thinks weaken him. He must cease to try to remove all loose ends and untie all knots in his life. He must be still and know that the Lord, he is God. He must put his confidence in Christ, in whose strength he can do all things. He must glory in his infirmity, that the power of Christ might rest on him. He must learn to live before the face of God in the recognition that God has allowed loose ends in his life, the thorn in his flesh, that he may learn to rely on him, that God's name may be magnified through him. Brethren, youth and children, have you learned the lesson? You may have learned the first part of the lesson and learned to turn away from the world and to rest in Christ. You have ceased to seek your own salvation by religious deeds and good works or by all worldly ways. But the question is, do you have quietness and confidence in Christ? Are you contented? Or are you still full of anxiety about your future? Are you a worrier? Have you been unable to seek God's kingdom first in all your decisions because you are afraid to let go? I don't know what you are clinging on to that you really should not be clinging on to. It may be a way of life. It may be the comfort zone of running the rat race, of having your children educated in Egypt, the best parts of it, competing with the top students and so on. There's comfort in knowing that your child can do better than others. Or it may have to do with the wealth of Sodom. There's comfort in knowing that your investments are doing well. It may be friendship with the world. It may be your reputation. Maybe hope of recovering from long illness. Whatever it is, you are afraid that if you let go of it, you'll fall freely. You are afraid that you have nothing to cling on to. If you let go of those things, then you'll feel vulnerable and you'll feel weak. But beloved brethren and youth and children, this is what the Lord wants us to do. He wants you to be quiet and to put your confidence in Him. He does not want you to run around like a blue house fly trying to solve all your problems in the ways of the world. He does not want you to cling on like a limpet to a rotting tree. Neither does he want you to try to solve your problem at your own expense, like Jonah. Jonah tried to solve his own problems and bought a ticket, run away. He didn't get a refund, as someone puts it. God wants you to be quiet. He wants you to put your confidence in Him and to fall into His loving hands. For underneath are the everlasting arms. He will uphold you. He will strengthen you. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. The world may shake and tremble, but the Lord will be with you. Therefore, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, without clinging on to worry, bruise, broken reed as your crutch. Trust wholly in the Lord. If you do so, and be quiet and down, and trust in the Lord, then you shall be able to live your Christian life joyfully. You shall be able to smile in the midst of the storm of life. You'll be able to pray with your hands open wide. Open that the Lord may take away what you do not need. Open to receive what you really need. You learn to trust in the Lord. There will be joy in your journey towards the celestial city, despite all the trials and tribulation that may come in your way. But beloved, let us take warning from the same word of God concerning our stubbornness. For there is danger in stubbornness of unbelief and refusal. Lord says through Isaiah, "In returning and rest shall ye be safe. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not." The Lord had graciously warned the people against the way that they were going about trying to solve their problem that was confronting them. Not only did He admonish them, but He warned them of severe consequences if they followed their planned course of action. He reminds them through the ministry of the prophet Isaiah that they must turn away from their humanistic and fleshly ways. They must rest rather in the Lord. They must be quiet and put their confidence in the Lord. But the people would not hear. You're not sure about Hezekiah, but certainly some of his officers would have pressured Hezekiah to do what appears to be the only reasonable thing, to flee on horses, as in verse 16, and to seek help from Egypt, maybe to ask them for their horses and chariot to come and protect them. This is often what happens, isn't it? The solution is right in front of us in the Word of God, in the principles that may be derived from the Word of God, but we would rather discuss, brainstorm, seek the best solution that the world can offer. We try to engineer a solution that we can cling on to. We refuse to let go of the options that are obviously faithless and worldly. And so we refuse to seek first God's kingdom. We just can't trust Him enough, even though God has promised to provide. We are afraid to live by faith and hope rather than by sight. We want to be 100% sure that we will be successful. We want to be 100% sure that there will be no losses if we take that step of faith. We want to take no risk. That's living by sight, not by faith. And we give a lot of excuses when we do not want to live by faith. Because it's obvious, you see, the problem. There'll be risk. Too much risk. Think of the areas of your life of your work, of your education, or the education of your children, of your witness amongst your colleagues, amongst your relatives, your commitment in the work of the Lord. Too many of us are crippled by indecision, not because we do not know what is the right thing to do, but because we do not trust the Lord to do what the Scripture and the principles of Scriptures enjoined us to do. And ye would not, says the Lord. Like the Jews of old, we try to ignore God. We try to run away from the problem. Like what the Jews did, wanting to run away upon horses and ride upon the swift. And so we begin to trust in the creature more than the Creator. Thus we begin to rely on our intellect, on our understanding, on our skills, on our knowledge, on our ability, on our connections, on our wealth, on our government, on the status quo, etc. But the more we try to solve the problem with our effort and our resources, the more frustrated we get. Beloved brethren, youth and children, it is not too late to repent of the sin of self-reliance and idolatry. I don't know what the idols are in your life, as you don't know what the idols are in my life. We need to get rid of those idols as the Lord speaks to us. We are all at different stages of grace, but let us learn to meditate on the Word of God and seek the Lord to rest in Him, listen to Him, quieten down and listen. Status quo is not necessarily the best thing. It's the most comfortable thing in this life, yes, but that's not necessarily the right thing. Learn to quieten down and let the Lord speak. And as the Lord deals with your conscience, maybe at that stage in your Christian life, this is what the Lord wants you to do about your life, about your family. Listen as the conscience is spoken to. Don't hush it and say there is a solution. Egypt, that's the way to go. In returning and rest, in quietness and confidence, you will have strength. In Isaiah 36, we have a record of how the messengers of the messenger of King Hezekiah came to talk to the people in Jerusalem. From that account, and from what happened after that, we realize that Hezekiah took heed to Isaiah's word, and he began to take leadership to encourage the people to trust that the Lord would deliver him, deliver the nation. Isaiah had sent a messenger. The name was Rabshakeh, and Rabshakeh's role was to shake the confidence of the people. Rabshakeh knew that Jerusalem had sought help from Egypt, for he taunted the people for doing so. Read that in Isaiah 36 and verse 6. And if you are sleepy, you should turn to that passage. Isaiah 36 and verse 6. Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt, whereon if a man lean, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust in him. Rav Sheka, even Rav Sheka knew the foolishness of finding solution in Egypt. Ironically, you know, the scripture gives us the word of a hidden man to reinforce that very principle that we are trying to learn. But Rav Sheka had also heard that Hezekiah had been telling the people to trust in the Lord. He repeatedly cautioned the people. Look at verse 15. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, "The Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria." Or in verse 18, "Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria?" Rav Sheka speaking exactly what our flesh tells us. Hezekiah did well. Because he trusted in the Lord did the unimaginable and the impossible. He slew the Assyrian army without the army of Hezekiah having to shoot an arrow. 185,000 of them in one night was slain. And they left behind them a huge amount of food and horses and everything else, enough to satisfy the need of Jerusalem. That night, God literally opened the windows of heaven and poured down a blessing upon the people because they had returned and they had put their confidence in the Lord and they had begun to pray with open hands. But that's what Hezekiah did, isn't it? He brought a letter before the Lord, cried unto the Lord. Let us, beloved brethren and children, refuse to be stubborn in unbelief and a refuser to turn to the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be safe. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not. This is a wonderful word, isn't it? Here is the promise of salvation in returning and rest. The assurance of strength in quietness and confidence in the Lord. The warning against stubbornness in unbelief and refusal. Well, let me conclude by addressing two groups of people in our midst this morning. First, let me address anyone in our midst who is still a stranger to Christ. You may be young, or you may be old. You may be a member of the church, or you may be just a visitor. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, then you are an unbeliever. If you do not regularly pray to the Father in the name of Christ Jesus, then you are an unbeliever. You're walking like an unbeliever. If you have no regard to the Word of God, you care not what the Word of God teaches, you have no desire to keep the commandments of God, you are a stranger to the gospel. If this is the case with you, then do you realize that you are in the same situation as the Jews in Jerusalem, waiting for the day of judgment? Your life is empty and yet full of anxiety. You have no peace in your heart and you're constantly trying to win the approval of people, or maybe even to meet your own standard. You try to do good and yet you feel that you're not good enough. You're running to and fro, left and right, trying unsuccessfully to fill the void in your heart and to address the sense of guilt and inadequacy that is inside you. Well, the solution to your problem is really here in our text. In returning and rest, ye shall be safe. turn away from self and sin and the world. Turn rather to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sin before Him. Ask Him in prayer to forgive your sin. Ask Him to make you one of His children. Do not be stubborn. Do not allow stubbornness to keep you from unbelief and refusal to follow Him. Do not continue in a way that leads to destruction. The Lord Jesus Himself says, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Will you not go to Him and find rest in Him? Young people, you who are trying to find your own significance by acting like your classmates so that you may have their approval, by dressing their way, by speaking their language, by doing the things that they do, there will not be any satisfaction in your heart, no peace in your heart, until you turn and find rest in the Lord and walk in His ways. Would you not go to Him? But now secondly, let me address you who know that you are God's children. You love the Lord Jesus Christ and His word. You love the church, as the Lord teaches you to seek first His kingdom, and the church is the most visible manifestation of His kingdom. So you love the church. You desire that the church should have peace and should grow. You pray for the church. And you keep God's commandment, for you are to seek His righteousness. But there is a remnant of corruption in you. And instead of consistently trusting in the Lord, you allow yourself to be persuaded by the reasoning of the world and the norms of society to excuse you from doing what is right, or what in your heart of heart you know is right. You know, sometimes things are not so clear, right? You're not sure, is it really right? But yet that is a nagging thing at the back of your mind. As the Spirit brings to mind the principles of the Word of God, you know that something is probably right in that way to go. But what happens? The voice from Egypt comes along, the voice from Palestine come along, and they all crowd your reasoning, and you allow all these things to cast doubts on your resolve, so that you have no peace. May I encourage you to cast your cares upon the Lord, because He cares for you. Be still and know that the Lord, He is God. Put your confidence in Him. He will never leave you nor forsake you. It's not too late to change course in your life. Not too late to repent where you have allowed worldliness to dictate your life. It's not too late to flush out that worldly principles that dictate your decisions and your choices. It's not too late to have a godly Christian family. How many of us living just like the world, isn't it? Struggling like the rest of the world. Little time for our children. Little time to encourage them the way of the Lord. Spend a lot of time making money, getting rich, having a comfortable life. But do we really need all those comforts of this life? Do we really have to be so comfortable? And the process we're teaching our children, that's what a Christian life is. We work long hours and we have little time for worship. And when we come back, we're tired and we don't have time to read the scriptures. What is the Christian life? This is what it is in the world. So we get irritated with our children. We scream and shout at them because they cannot do as well as their classmates. Because they have to keep up with their neighbors, their classmates, that they have to do exceptionally well. So we let the norms of society dictate what a Christian life should be. Will you not be still? Think again. Does it really need to be this way? Do we have no choice? Or is it that we do not want to take the choice? We want the status quo because it's the most comfortable thing, because taking the other path, the dangers and risk. Hezekiah was apparently caught up with the dissimulation. Though he was probably not wholeheartedly agreeing to seek help from Egypt, he was the king, and therefore he was responsible for his decision. The nation would have been severely judged had he not repented. Thank God that he did. Beloved, if you are in a similar situation as Hezekiah, know that the Lord is waiting for your repentance. As Isaiah puts it in verse 18 of the same chapter, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Return and rest in the Lord. Put your confidence upon him and wait upon him. He will yet bless you, that you may be a blessing. Amen. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reminder in thy word. For we confess that we are very much like the Jews in Jerusalem, waiting for the assaults of the Assyrians and seeking help in all the wrong places. We confess, Lord, that though we are in this world, we are not of this world. That ought to be the case. But we also confess that we are so weak to do that which is right. So much so that we so often allow the ways of the world to dictate how we ought to live. And our decisions have impact on a family, on the church, on the name of Christ in the world. And we find ourselves walking in the way of Egypt when there is a better way. Father, speak to us, we pray. Grant each one of us that we may not allow thy word to fall by the wayside, but rather to receive it on good grounds in our heart, to wrestle with thy word, and whatever decisions we may at the end make concerning our life, Lord, grant that it may be after a time of wrestling with thee, that even if we decide that we have no choice, but that we should go to Egypt, Lord, let it not be an automatic decision. Let it not be that we simply flow with the tide, for we know that the tide flows on a broad way. So, Lord, teach us, we pray, according to the limitations that thou hast placed in our life, help us to find godly solutions to the problems in our lives. Help us to return. Help us to rest in Christ. Help us to be quiet that we may learn to hear. Help us to have confidence in Thee. And grant us that if we be tempted to respond in stubbornness and refusal, and thou by thy providence bring us to a recognition of the better way. And lead us by thy providence, by thy word, that we may return to that old path and the path of righteousness. For we would pray these things in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.